Hey all, welcome back to the Fire and Water Cooking Podcast. I'm Darren, and today we're going to have a special guest, author, blogger, and just recently executive chef of the International Sous Vide Association, Chef Justice Stewart. I'll be right back.
Smoking, grilling, getting hot and hotter, sous vide and chilling from Fire and Water.
Hey all, welcome back to the Fire and Water Cooking Podcast. I'm Darren. Today we have a special guest from Brooklyn, New York, Chef Justice Stewart. He is an author and chef, and he is now the sous vide chef appointed of the International Sous Vide Association and the International Sous Vide Association Sous Vide Summit coming up in July. Welcome, Justice. Introduce yourself.
Hey, how's it going out there? Well, I'm Justice. I was born and raised in Queens, New York. I currently live in Brooklyn. I'm a chef and caterer here in New York, and also a cookbook writer and a blogger at Gourmet Deconstructed.
So, yeah, you're talking about, I think that came first, wasn't it? I think I was reading about your blog, and I think that kind of started your whole journey into the culinary arts. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, you are. The blog, I started writing the blog in 2011. Due to all my friends and family and people that know me, they were urging me to get into the restaurant business and the culinary world. At the time, I was working construction, and I had no real ties to the culinary industry at the time. And I worked construction about 13 years. But at the same time, I was cooking for parties and family and friends and stuff like that. And I decided to start the blog to share my passion with the world. And, it became popular because I do so many different types of cuisine. One of my passions is wild game. And I started doing those kind of posts on my blog. And people started following and appreciate what I was doing, and it led to my cookbook opportunity.
So the blog is called Gourmet Deconstructed, if you're all looking for that. I'll also have a link in the description of the podcast below. Now, when you started your blog, was it mostly just your own recipes you were doing, or was it stuff you were kind of researching and stuff you had seen at restaurants, or what was it?
Oh, well, it started with just research and trying different recipes because I love variety and I love the foods from around the world, all different types of cuisine. And if you look at the blog, I covered a lot of cuisine from different countries and things like that. And it also applied to the book also. And, I started having a huge following with the blog. And I said, hey, I must be doing something right. And people appreciate what I'm doing. And, since 2011, it's still been going strong.
So when did you decide to start getting into the culinary arts instead of out of the construction business and making that career leap? I mean, that's something that, people don't normally do. They kind of stay in the career most of their life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a huge leap because financially it was a totally different situation where I was making $30 an hour working construction. And I left that kind of work to go make $10 an hour to go into the culinary industry. So it was a really big transition, but I loved construction, but I've also loved cooking, and I love cooking more than I love construction. So I decided just to make the change.
Now, did you start just working in restaurants? Did you go to culinary school first? How did it all go about?
Okay, well, I've never attended culinary school or taken any culinary classes. I mostly learned on the fly. by great chefs that I've encountered that I've had the chance to work with, such as like Chef Shehu Fitzgerald, who's now the chef de cuisine at Todd English's restaurant, the Plaza Hotel. You know, I studied with guys like this, and they taught me a lot of great, great techniques and things.
Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm mostly self-taught or researched on my own. I was never been professionally trained, and I don't think, you know, you really need to have a, you know, you can learn a lot, of course, if you go to culinary school, but I don't think it's necessary. I did a lot of on-the-job training myself. I started cooking in restaurants when I was 15 years old, up until I was in my late 20s.
Exactly. Different
kind of restaurants. So I learned a lot about cooking by having to do it to work, you know, for work. And I continued that, you know, the older I got, and I got into banking down after that, but I still cooked, and I cook all the time. So it's constantly learning. I don't think you really need to have a degree, especially if you're working in the industry and you're learning from people that have years and years of experience. So,
yes, definitely. But in hindsight, I would love to go to culinary school. You know, I believe I can learn some things that I don't know. I'm going to be 50 years old in another month. So, you know, I say, oh, I have to hit the ground running. But if I had the chance to go to culinary school, maybe 6 months or something, I believe I will do it.
Yeah, you can always learn something. That's what I've always thought. You know, you're never too old, and you never know everything. So there's always, even if something you've done, you know, all your life, I'm sure even construction was like that. But how did going from just doing a blog to jumping into the culinary business and coming from construction, how did that change how you looked at food or how you did your blog? Did it change it?
Oh, it actually did. With the blog, I started off as a home cook with a deep passion for cooking. And a friend of mine, he had a successful restaurant in Louisiana. He moved to New York, and, you know, he had a catering business here. And he wanted to give me a shot and said, hey, listen, you know, come work with me. We were catering for the offices of LinkedIn at the Empire State Building. And I learned so much during that time working there, but it was hard to take the step. Once I took the step, I didn't regret it. I jumped in with both feet and, you know, went, as you say, balls to the wall. And I not only learned a lot, I gained so much experience from that experience itself, my first professional culinary experience. When I walked away from construction to go to that job, I was working for a masonry company, concrete masonry, where we were doing huge construction jobs. And I worked there 6 years. And when I walked away, my boss couldn't believe it. He said, are you going to cook? I said, yeah. And he just shook his head like, okay, I wish you luck. He said, I wish you luck. He knew I had a passion for it, but I know that in his wildest dreams, he didn't realize I was going to go on to write a cookbook and be as successful as I've been in this industry so far.
There's not a lot of people out there that would do that, would actually, you know, take the leap and try to chase their dreams. That's kind of what I'm doing with this. I mean, and yeah, I'm still working, you know, a full-time job and all that, but I'm doing something I'm really passionate about. And when you're really passionate about something, you know, there's nothing that's going to hold you back.
There's no stopping you. That's how I feel. There's no stopping you. I've kept at it over the years, and I've done some amazing, you know, things that I didn't believe I can do before, but now I totally believe in myself. If you believe in yourself, you can do anything. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Confidence is king, you know, especially if it's something you're passionate about, something you love, you know, you can find the confidence to do it. Do you ever look back at some of your older blog posts and some of the ones that you do now and see the difference in how you looked at food or looked at recipes and stuff and see the difference?
When I look at some of the older posts, especially dealing with wild game, it makes me smile because that was the passion for cooking wild game is what led me into sous vide cooking. I had no idea what sous vide cooking was until I continuously cooked wild game meats and stuff like that. And it led me to sous vide because I believe sous vide is the best way to prepare these meats for the most part.
Now, did you do a lot of barbecue or outdoor cooking in your blogs before you got into the culinary business? Or
I mean, I'm not much of a pit master. And, you know, I live in Brooklyn and, you know, it's, you know, it's, you know, we live in buildings, everybody lives on top of each other. So it's not like I can just go outside to my smoker. You know, I live like in the concrete jungle here in New York. So, when I do have a chance to go to family, you know, to go stay with family, you know, whether it's Long Island or in New Jersey, I get a chance to do those kind of things. But that's, I more took sous vide and I wanted to teach the home cook how to make restaurant quality meals if they're just sitting in their apartment, you know?
Yeah, and I had this conversation with Jason too, because he's the same way. He doesn't get to use a smoker much at all, you know, because he lives not too far from you in Brooklyn. So it's like, it's really hard in New York City or Brooklyn or, you know, around that area to whip out a smoker or a grill or.
Yeah. And Jason, really good dude. Me and him hung out a couple of times and we really enjoyed each other's company. He lives in a more congested part of Brooklyn than I do. So I can imagine that he doesn't get to do these kind of things. You know, me, I live closer to the ocean. I live in South Brooklyn, which is about six blocks from the Atlantic Ocean. So I get to do a lot of fishing and stuff like that.
Nice. So what was your first restaurant gig?
Well, restaurant, I've never done restaurants, never worked in a restaurant. Everything I've done is catering and private chef. Currently, I know, I mean, we're with each other on social media. You see the work I'm doing with catering. It's mostly fine dining, weddings, and things like that. The company I'm working with currently, we do a lot of that kind of stuff throughout New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
So that's a lot different than cooking plate to plate or cooking in home, in your home kitchen, because you're cooking for, you know, 50 to 100 to 300 people a lot. So
Recently, last week, we did 700 people for the Make-A-Wish Foundation that we cooked for.
Now, how often do you get to incorporate sous vide into those type of large cooks?
Well, right now what I'm doing with this company, a lot of what I'm doing right now is not sous vide with this company. You know, this is a new journey that I started with this company. But my experience with sous vide cooking for a mass amount of people came from when I was working as a sous chef at Madison Square Garden. And I incorporated it often. So I've learned to cook for a mass of people, 300 to 400 people, using the sous vide method.
And were those mostly steaks and things like that were done for the luxury boxes, right?
It wasn't that. It was actually the owner of Madison Square Garden. We cooked for his suite. So mostly it was the celebrities you see sit courtside. They have their own private suite that they all come to eat, whereas they don't mingle with the regular folks like us. But, you know, they don't mingle with the regular folks like us. I cook for them and the season ticket holders. So for the most part, I was doing sous vide for everything from lobster to lamb chops, from, you know, filet mignon to duck. It was more of a fine dining thing. We'll put the meal together after incorporating the sous vide method. But for the most part, I took charge of the sous vide cooking while I worked there. So the experience of cooking for 300-400 people a night using the sous vide method became commonplace for me.
Awesome. And when I was up, we just got back from New York City. We were up there and
I missed you guys.
I tried to hook up. I did get to hook up with Jason when I was there. But one of the things we did do is we did the back, behind the scenes tour of Madison Square Garden. So we got to see some of the stuff that, you don't usually get to see when you're going there to watch a game. We got up into the luxury boxes and stuff like that. And the bridge and all that kind of stuff. But we also got to see a Billy Joel concert, on a Sunday night, because he plays there once a month now. So we got to see Billy Joel at the Garden. So yeah,
he's done that for a while.
That's an amazing place, though. I mean, that we did that in Radio City Music Hall, and some of those, some of the things that they have behind the scenes are just amazing. You just don't even realize it. So
it's such an amazing place. I mean, I felt so blessed, like when I showed up at that place in the morning and you actually get to walk through the guts of it and not to where, the tourists and the guests come. Just to be behind the scenes of everything was just amazing. We cooked for everything from Taylor Swift's birthday party, Billy Joel concerts, the NBA All-Star game, NCAA games. It was a really fun experience.
And so what you do now, you're working for a big, and it looks like they have several different hotels and stuff like that.
Yes. I'm working for a company called Landmark Hospitality and Crave Events Group, which is a catering company in New Jersey that own landmark venues and historic venues around New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Miami. So we're often cooking and we have a golf course, Neshaminy Valley Golf Course, that we often cook at also. So it's really a fun thing.
Well, and they're pretty upscale too. They're not like, your local schlub country club. Where,
No. It's
$5 a plate chicken dinners. No. I mean,
no, it's all upscale cooking, upscale venues. And it's now more of a learning experience, a bigger learning experience than working in Madison Square Garden. Because like I said, my first time cooking for 700 people was last week, So it's a great learning experience for me. And I'm working with some really great people. I just want to give a big shout out to my chef, my executive chef, James Graham. He's going to be down at the conference with us. He's going to help me out with getting some of the food together.
Awesome. I'm really, really upset that I'm not going to be able to make it this year. It's just, I was, by the time they asked me to come and speak and everything, I was already had some other trips planned that I couldn't do it. But I promised next year I was going to go, and especially since I found out where it's going to be. So
San Francisco, baby.
Shame I'm not supposed to say anything. Mike said, don't say anything. Really? Me and Cole kind of talked about that, the other day as well. So it looks like it's going to be a great time out there. But I was really surprised at the amount of talent and people and companies and everything that are involved in the first ever International Sous Vide Summit. So it looks like it's going to be a great time.
Oh, yes, it's awesome. I've seen the lineup of speakers. I'm so excited about it. From when the guys first started it to now, it's so ready to explode that,
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this with Jason and Mike and Cole when he was just on, that one of the biggest things is, people get stuck in their head that, sous vide is only good for steaks or chicken breast or stuff. And just what got me excited about sous vide was the total opposite of, is being able to take a brisket and make it medium rare and still tender. Things like that. It wasn't, I could make a steak, perfectly medium rare. It was, I can take things that I normally can't do, you know, using a smoker. You know, to make a brisket tender with a smoker, it's got to be well done. You can't do it medium rare.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's where the idea of my book came from, and I think you have it. It's my idea for the book was around the world in 80 sous vide recipes. So I try to cover, you know, you don't just have to do a steak, or you can turn that steak into, like, you know, something greater than just a steak, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I wanted to experiment with a lot of, international recipes. Like, I have, feijoada, which is a Portuguese stew, you know, Moroccan style sticky meatballs, things like that. I wanted to experiment and show people it doesn't matter what kind of food you cook and you can apply the sous vide method to it.
Yeah. And that's kind of what got me involved, and what I try to do is show people everyday cooking and then how it can affect you, and instead of just thinking of it as a crock pot or an Instapot.
Yeah.
It can do so much more. So, I mean, it's not a one hit wonder. It's not something that somebody gives you and you're like, you use it once a year. This is something you can use for every meal, pretty much.
For every meal. Yeah. And I've been checking out your stuff. Great job. You've been doing a really good job with your stuff. I've been checking out your YouTube videos and everything.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still learning every day. And that's one of the things, you know, I'm always going to be learning, and I'm getting better at some things, and especially doing videos and stuff. It's hard when you first start. I mean, you know, just like when you started writing your blog, I'm sure it was kind of hard for you to sit down and try to put your thoughts down on paper.
It was so hard.
So, I mean, anything you try that you haven't done before, I mean, just editing a video for me was so hard in the beginning, and now it's like, you know, I can do it in my sleep, but you got to start somewhere, and you're always constantly learning and things that, you know, you learn different things and how to make things better. And that's kind of what I love about sous vide. There's always something new to learn, always something new to test it with or try it with or different ways. I mean, you know, no, 80 different ways you can cook something. So, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. You have some chefs that they shun that method. I've had chefs tell me, oh, that's a lazy way of cooking. I mean, I guess they're caught up on the person cooking a steak method, but, you know, it's so many different techniques and things you can do using the sous vide method. But mostly you get that from a lot of old schoolers.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a little break here, and then when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about that and some other things, and then and we'll be right back. Hey, all, I want to welcome again Inkbird as our sponsor for the Fire and Water Cooking Podcast. Inkbird has more than just barbecue thermometers and instant read thermometers that I've talked about before. Inkbird just came out with a Wi-Fi sous vide circulator that I've been using for a few weeks now that works pretty good. Has over 1,000 watts of power, has a app that has many times and temps for meats and vegetables, also has onboard times and temps for meats and vegetables, runs really quiet, fits most regular sous vide containers that are the size of the Innovas. So check it out. Look below, there's a link. Check out the Inkbird Wi-Fi sous vide circulator in the description below. Back to our program. All right, all, we're back and with Chef Justice Stewart. And let's talk a little bit about what we were talking about before we left here. Talking about you were saying the chefs, some of the chefs that you know kind of call sous vide like the lazy cooking style. They kind of shun it.
Yes. I mean, you have old school chefs. They like doing things old school way. But sous vide has been around for a long time. It's just they never used it. It's nothing.
Well, and to me, you have that in everything. There's a lot of, you know, because I kind of specialize in mixing barbecue with sous vide. So you got a lot of those old time barbecue guys that are the same way. you know, that, oh, you got to, barbecue's got to be, you know, strictly smoke on a smoker for, you know, 12 hours, low and slow, blah, blah, blah. You got to use real wood and this. So a lot of these barbecue guys, it's, you know, and some of them will just say, well, if you're not using real wood, if you're using a pellet grill, you know, you're not really barbecuing. I mean, so you got that in everything, you know, and then you got the people that are like, that love to explore the different things. So like with me, and I find the people that, you know, want to try to use smoking and barbecue and grills with the sous vide, you know, they're all over it. Then you got the guys, every once in a while you get somebody that's just, oh, that's cheating, or that's not, you know, you're boiling your meat, or, you know, but you, like I said, you get that with people that don't like, you know, certain type of grills, like the pellet grills compared to the real wood, you know, smokers. I mean, you got people that don't like propane smokers compared to those, or gas grills. I mean, it's just,
Darren, you know what matters to me? Results.
Good food. Yeah, results. Me too. Good food. Exactly.
Results is what matters. You know, if you want to cook for 300 people and you want to keep using the finger method to test your filet mignons, I'm fine with that. You know, I can pull all mines out and realize that they're all perfect, and I can cook everything to order after that. So, you know.
Exactly.
Depends on how you look at it, you know, each, you know, to each his own.
Yeah. And that's the way too. And personal preference is always going to be personal preference, whether it's how you like your steak cooked, how you like to prepare your steak, you know, it boils down to everything. And that's one of the things, you know, running a bigger, you know, Facebook group, you get people like that all the time that my way is the only way, you know, you got to eat your steak medium rare, or you got to do this, you got to cook it my way, you know, and it's like, dude, it's all personal preference. Try it different ways. I always try different things. There are certain things that I find for me work better, and I tell people why, but I don't force them, you know, tell them that they're wrong if they don't do it my way. You know, if you want to do it your way and you think you get the better results, have at it.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, that's what cooking's all about. Experimenting. Right. And, you know, my family, I grew up around a lot of great home cooks. And a lot of the food I eat, they don't eat right now. Like what I do now, they don't eat, you know, like I cook elk. I cook kangaroo, I cook beaver, I cook python, I cook camel, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, and they're saying, what are you doing? You know, I have a sous vide camel ribs on my blog. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, but I have a recipe for sous vide camel ribs.
I think I saw that one. I don't know about the beaver, though. I could probably do camel. I don't know about
beaver. Was great. I made a chili out of it. It was great. It was great, you know. I had my daughter over for dinner, and I told her, you know, it's exotic. It's exotic meat. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Are you willing to try it? She said, yes. And it was, you know, it was kangaroo loin, and I did it sous vide and served it, and she loved it until I told her what it was. You know, so, you know, so the upcoming conference, I'm going to do some kind of a wild game dish as a demo to enlighten people. Like, you know, the sous vide method really applies well to wild game and game meats.
We, a bunch of friends of mine, we attended a big barbecue store up in Atlanta. It's called the Atlanta Grill Company. And it's one of the biggest ones in the whole Southeast. And they had a big grand opening. And one of the sponsors is Kamado Joe Ceramic Grills. Cause they're like right down the street. It's like their flagship, you know, store.
Yeah.
But they had the chef who does that for Kamado Joe. He had a bunch of kangaroo. He had a bunch of different exotic meats. I think he got, elk, and there was a few others, but I know he had kangaroo and no snake or beaver, but he did have some other exotic stuff that was quite interesting. So Yeah. I mean, I guess you got to try everything once, right?
Hey, you have to try it. Yeah. You would be surprised. Like, camel ribs were delicious. You know, it was like a cross between pork and lamb, sort of.
I just can't cook that stuff at home because my wife, you know, she doesn't hardly eat a medium rare steak. I got to kind of make hers a little bit more done.
Oh, yeah. If you
want, she likes more the, you know, London broil that I do sous vide, you know, without the fat and anything. And, and it's like, I don't particularly care for it because there's not a lot of fat and a lot of flavor, but she loves it. And she loves it when I cook it sous vide. Her favorite thing I make sous vide is top loin. Or top round steak, you know, the London broil type stuff, and because she doesn't like the fat, so there's no fat on it, and I make it sous vide. I cook it for 36 hours or 48 hours, and it's as tender as a filet. So she loves that. I make it for her, but
So if you walk in with some beaver meat, you may just be homeless. Is that what
she? Yeah, she won't eat it. She'll be eating something else. She'll order out, or she'll go to McDonald's. But yeah, she won't eat that stuff.
Don't knock it till you try it.
That's right. So,
but for the conference, I'm gonna take it easy because I understand some people may be, I'm not gonna go too extreme, but I'm gonna bring some interesting ingredients for my demo.
Now you don't cook that stuff for your work, right? That's strictly for your blog.
Oh yeah, at work now. Yeah, at work. The if I mention rabbit, people get anxious.
Rabbit for 400 people. Yeah.
Yeah. So people get
anxious. That's a lot of rabbits.
Yeah, exactly. But I love to do that stuff on my free time. I do love to do it.
So the ISVA, they just named you their chef for the summit. So are you going to be in charge of cooking most of the stuff? I know that they got Meathead's going to be doing some steaks, I guess, cooking them over the chimney, charcoal chimney.
So I was just named the executive chef for ISVA. And not just this event, I will be in command of preparing the food for all events moving forward. This year, I'm going to travel down a little earlier than everyone else to get everything prepared for the cooks that are going to be there. Because we have certain restrictions as far as like with the health department. So I'm going to make sure everything is prepared in one place. And we'll get the stuff to the venue, which is around the corner. And I'm looking forward to like meeting all of these chefs and preparing. It's a lot of food. We have a lot of food. It's going to be like really great. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out, Darren.
Well, I saw the list. Mike sent me the list of the meat that Allen Brothers is providing. And I was like, oh man, they got Wagyu and everything. So
it's Wagyu brisket, flank steak, all the good stuff. But you'll be at the next one. No worries. This one, we're going to, prepare a lot of the food for, Polyscience, Kriya, Cuisine Solutions. They're going to actually have their people there also. It's going to be a fun event.
Now, are you renting a commercial kitchen like right around the corner or something? Or
Yes, I believe it's a commissary close by, 5 minutes away. That most of the action's going to be going down in.
So are you also going to be speaking, or are you just strictly cooking this time? Are you going to be doing a presentation?
Well, I'm going to have a dish during the Friday night reception, and I will do an on-stage demo with a wild game ingredient on Saturday.
Gotcha.
Including a talk and a demo.
Now, of course, you'll be bringing a bunch of your books and be doing a book signing, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Now, let's talk about your book. What got you motivated to write a book? Was it just a spinoff of your blog, or was it because you did your blog, you felt like you could do a book?
Yes. Well, the story is kind of funny because I had the blog already, and I kept teasing the idea of writing a book. People were asking me, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? You have this blog, write a book. And I kept saying, yes, I'll do that. But I never did. And because it's so hard to just even start one, the magnitude of writing a book is really huge. And Pastry Publishing, they actually found my blog and they reached out to me and they said, hey, we would like you to write a book for us. And, you know, from there, we talked and I wrote a book, you know, and it was sort of surreal, but I mean, it took me about 7 months, with the sous vide testing and testing, you know, all the recipes and everything. So, it was rough, but it was rewarding. And I'm humbled that I had the opportunity to do it.
I've talked to a couple other people. One of my first guests was Greg Mervich. I don't know if you watch a lot of YouTube, but he's got a big YouTube channel. It's called Ballistic Barbecue. And actually, his channel was one of the ones that inspired me to start messing around with sous vide and barbecue, because one of the first videos of his I saw was him actually doing a sous vide brisket. So, but he also wrote a book on, it's called Sous Vide Barbecue, and it's on Amazon. You can check it out. But I asked him the same thing about writing his book, and he told me pretty much like you did. It's like giving birth, you know.
Yeah.
He said it's very hard.
It's very hard,
you know. And he said it a lot harder than you would think it would be. I talked a little bit with Jason about it too, but you know, Jason's got so many of them now. It's like he could write a
magazine. Oh yeah, yeah. That guy is like that guy is like amazing. He's like I have one, and I can't believe that he has 13.
But I guess it's like anything. I guess once you do one, and you know, it's like, you know, like I said, Greg told me it was like he thinks he's going to write another one, because he does a lot of burger videos on his YouTube channel. They're very popular. I mean, he does like one a week and like all kinds of different ones, and he's going to write a book about that. But he goes, but since he's got all that experience from the first one, he said, but yeah, he says the first one is like giving birth, because it's so much harder and so much work and so much more dealing with the publisher and than he ever thought it was. So.
Right. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. It became a pain in the ass at some, you know, at one juncture, but when you finish, you feel so accomplished. And I think the blog conditioned me to write the book, because I already know how to create and write recipes. So, and I've been using sous vide for quite a while in different situations, and I felt like, okay, this is possible. And they exclusively wanted a sous vide book from me. Well, I was looking at doing, other passions of cooking, such as wild game, Cajun Creole. And while sous vide was always a passion of mine, that's what they wanted. They said, we want a sous vide cookbook. And I knew I was capable of writing a sous vide cookbook, but I didn't know the interest was there like that. So I said, hey, I'll do a sous vide cookbook.
And that's kind of what happened with my buddy Greg there at Ballistic Barbecue, because somebody from the publishing house that contacted him saw his sous vide and, barbecue video. And they said, well, barbecue's hot right now, so is sous vide. And they called him and said, hey, we want you to do a barbecue sous vide book. And he's like, okay. I mean, he didn't reach out to anybody. He wasn't, you know, looking to write a sous vide barbecue book, but he was approached by a publisher because they saw one of his videos and they just looked at what was hot. And that's probably what happened with you. You know, they just figured that sous vide's, you know, it's a trending topic. Let's go find somebody, you know, in the blogosphere.
Yes, and the publishing company, Pastry Publishing, who I deal with, that's the one cookbook they did not have published, was a sous vide cookbook. So I'm a first for that, for them.
So you're filling a hole for them, and so now have they offered you to do another book, or are they just kind of just letting this one go? And
oh, yes. We talked about some of my previous ideas. So we're just waiting to see how this this book does. And the ideas I shot to them, they had a couple of those ideas on that were already being used. So we want to see how that does. But right now, I'm so busy, I can't possibly have time right now to write a book, because everything I'm doing right now is so busy.
Well, the summertime up where you're at is the busy time for you, I'm sure.
Yes, you know? Very.
Especially those big outdoor venues and the weddings and all kinds of stuff like that. Yes. Yeah. When the weather's nice. When it's snowing now, you might be able to write some more stuff. So.
Yeah, and we're talking about, you know, three or four weddings a week, you know, that are huge, like big, you know, a lot of people. So it's been just so busy that I'm sure once everything slows down and starts getting cold up here, I'll have time to, you know, sit down and like think what's the next move.
So when you first started doing sous vide, what was the thing that you found right away that you liked about it? What was the thing that attracted you to it?
The first thing I've ever cooked sous vide was a venison loin, which I have a friend who goes hunting, and he's given me meats before, and for, you know, I wasn't used to it at first when I cooked it the traditional way, so sometimes I would overcook it, sometimes it was hit or miss, even though I had the skills to cook it. Sometimes, you know, like with the game meats, you have to be really careful. And
right,
when I did it sous vide, it was just consistent results. And then the only thing I had to worry about was the flavorings after, the sauces and stuff like that, because I know my venison is going to be perfect every time. You know, so like cooking venison was what drew me in, like, to say, you know what, this is a great method of cooking.
Awesome. Well, and it's got to start somewhere. Like I said, it started with me with, you know, just watching some other people's videos and how they were using it for barbecue, because I was big into barbecue, you know, and it, when I saw that, how I could use that to help get my results with the barbecue stuff, that's what really interested me in it. So, and then I started spreading out from there. So, I mean, it just takes that one hook, and then you start branching out into doing other things. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it works well with barbecue, for real. It really does.
Okay. Well, it was great talking to you, and make sure everybody out there that you check out Justice Stewart's book on Amazon. And what was the name of the book again, Justice?
The name of the book is Mastering the Art of Sous Vide Cooking. Bay Street Publishing, distributed by Macmillan. My website, gourmetdeconstructed.com. I have some good stuff planned in this coming fall, so it's going to be a lot of content being pumped on there. And anybody looking to book for catered events, and whether it's a wedding or a small party or intimate gathering, www.gourmetdeconstructed.com.
Great. And if they want to come up and get a book signed at the ISV conference at the Sous Vide Summit, July 19th through the 22nd?
21st.
At the 21st. And I'll put all that information in the description of the podcast. So make sure you check that out. Thanks for joining me, Justice. It was great having you. Good luck with your new job there on doing all that catering, and good luck at the ISV conference, and congratulations on being named the executive chef for the ISVA, and thanks for joining me.
Yes, Darren, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And I look forward to meeting you also. We'll be in San Francisco next year, no matter what.
I might meet you before then. I might take another trip back up to New York City and try to track you down.
Or I might move down to St. Petersburg and we'll really meet and we'll be able to hang out.
Well, next time you're down, just look me up.
All right, you got it. You got it.
Thanks for joining me. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us again, guys. Make sure you check out Justice Stewart's book on Amazon, Mastering the Art of Sous Vide. Also check out his blog and website, Gourmet Deconstructed. And also check out the Yinkbird Sous Vide unit listed below. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on the next Fire and Water Cooking Podcast.